All because of him. All because of him. Would you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 5 and Mark chapter 14. Put your finger in Mark chapter 14. Be ready for Luke chapter 5. I appreciate you being here this morning. God bless you. And if you don't have a regular church home, and you live in anywhere in the 50-mile radius, we'd be glad to have you come back and see us often. And, you know, I laugh about that, but we got folks who come from a 50-mile radius every Sunday morning. And we appreciate that, and we're glad to have you here this morning. And if you don't have a home, we'd be glad to be your home. You've been here once, we call you family, and I'm just glad to have you here. And if you're passing through, and we appreciate you being here, maybe your family from out of town, we're glad to have you here. Thank you for spending your Easter Sunday morning with us. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1, and then Mark chapter 14. I'm up here jabbering. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. I want you to listen to this. We're not going to dwell long on this particular scripture, but you need to see the events in Luke chapter 5. It says, "And it came to pass... that as the people pressed upon him, upon Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, in the Bible, there's three basic names for the Sea of Galilee. Of course, one is the Sea of Galilee, one is the Lake of Gennesaret, and one is the Sea of Tiberias. Really, what happens is you have the area of Galilee, and they have the Sea of Galilee, but Tiberias is on the west side of the shore, so they want to claim it for them. So it's the Sea of Tiberias. And then you got the area of Gennesaret, but they want to claim it for them, and so they call it the Lake of Gennesaret. And then you got the Sea of Galilee from the area of Galilee. So they all kind of claim it, but it's all the same place. It's the same basic body of water there. And so you have Jesus, and he's teaching by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee. And verse 2, "And he said, he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." Now remember what this is saying here. Now in this area, they would fish. I know trout season just started. Didn't anybody go out fishing for trout season yesterday? There's a couple. Where's Merle? He had to be out there someplace. But anyway, they would fish actually at nighttime, because the water would get so hot at the top that all the fish, during the day, that the fish would go to the bottom where it's cool. And so at nighttime, being a very dry, arid area, the temperature would get very cold in the nighttime. And so the water would cool off, and the fish would come to the top and feed at night. So the fishermen were wise enough to know that they're going to go fishing at night. So they go out there and they cast their nets. So it says that had been fishing all night. See, this is kind of, you can kind of say Jesus had morning church here, and the guys are they're coming in from fishing all night, and they're washing the nets, and they're saying the day's over. You know, they kind of work night shift. The day's over. And he says, verse 3, "And he, Jesus, entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter, and asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." So Peter, you know, so all right, we're gonna wash our nets. Okay, all right. Do you wanna be able to go out here and talk to a lot of people? And his voice would bounce off the top of the water. And so they would go out in the water a little bit, and they kind of put him on a platform, besides it kind of echoed his voice across to the people. So they put the boat out just a little bit in the water so Jesus could talk. Verse 4 says, "Now when he had left speaking," when he got all done preaching to him, "he said unto Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Well, by now it's probably noon, heat of the day. This is not the time to go fishing. I mean, Peter didn't know Jesus very well. He sounded like a pretty nice guy. I'm sure he heard him preach, and he probably was interested in what he said, and sounded like a guy with a little bit of brains, but he says, well, okay. He says, so he turns around and tells Peter, this professional fisherman, a veteran in the activity, he says, "I want you to go out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Verse 5, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, We toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now, we went fishing when you're supposed to go fishing, and we didn't get a thing. Not a bite, nothing. And then he says, Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You know, I was thinking about this. I know a lot of folks say, well, then he listened to Jesus and did what he said. You know what I think, knowing Peter and having read him more often? I feel like he's out there with all these other fishermen. And he says, Peter, why don't you go out and let down the net? And I think Peter is looking at all his buddies and thinking, what an idiotic thing to do. I mean, they're not biting. They weren't biting at night when you're supposed to go fishing. Now, he wants me to go out in the middle of the day and go fishing. I'm going to look like a fool. What am I doing listening to this guy? Because he didn't know who Jesus was at this point, really. Listening to this guy to go out fishing. We all know you don't catch fish in the middle of the day. I think he said this. All right, he said so. It's him. I'm not doing this. He said to go do this. So here we go. So verse 6 says, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. I mean, it was so much, it busted the nets. And they beckoned unto their partners. See, their partners were there, James and John, they were all there. And so the partners would say, hey, guys, come over here, which were on the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. So here they go in the shore. Of course, you know, by this time, Peter's kind of thinking silly, but he says, verse 8, so when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. The word sinful means to miss the mark. You know what he says? I thought I was really smart. I thought I had this fishing business all figured out. And I gave him all the credit for telling us to go out there. And he was right. He was right. And he says, you know what? You must be from someplace else. There's something special about you. No one in the world would have ever thought we could have caught a fish, a load of fish like this in the middle of the day like this. And he says, you know what? You must be God. I don't have any right to even stand before you. You ought to leave me. I don't deserve to be in your presence. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Verse 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James, John, the sons of Zebedee. They were some fishing partners, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, don't get yourself all in uproar, Peter, here. It's all right. Don't get scared of being in my presence. I want you in my presence. Fear not, because for henceforth, from now on, thou shalt catch men. I've got a job for you. He says, I don't deserve to be in your presence. He says, no, don't go there, Peter. Don't go there. I got something big for you. But I don't deserve to be in your presence. Depart. No. I know all about you. I got a job for you. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook everything else and followed Jesus. Now look in Mark chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke. So it's a few pages before where we are. Mark 14, 22. This is the end of the ministry of Jesus. This is the Lord's Supper. The next day he's going to be crucified. 3.5 years has gone by now. So the day that Peter and James and John and the ghost guys saw who Jesus was, about 3.5 years have passed. The ministry of Christ is over. They're at the Last Supper. Tomorrow Jesus dies. Verse 22, Mark 14. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And they said, and said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily, or truly, I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Watch this. And Jesus said unto them, to the disciples, including Peter and James and John, Peter's brother Andrew. And Jesus said unto them, all ye. Ye is plural, means y'all. Back down south, it's all y'all. It says, all y'all shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Now those two verses, you've got to put, it's very interesting. Those two verses don't look like they go together. In fact, to be honest with you, I've looked at this and looked at this for a long time in passing. And this week I said to Janet, I said, there's something here. I'm not sure what it is, there's something here. And we were flying down to Georgia this week. I said, I found it. There's a connection. Look at verse 27. It says, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it's written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. You're all going to be offended. But it's almost like he says, but it's okay, because after I'm risen, I'm going to go before you in Galilee. So, why is it okay that I'm going to be offended and run away from Jesus, but... And how's Galilee going to fix it? Verse 29, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. I'm not going to be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he, Peter, spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, said they all. Yeah, that's right. We won't deny you. So basically they said, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. Now there was three and a half years ago Peter told Jesus he didn't know what he was talking about. That's when he forsook the world and followed Jesus. Jesus says, you know what you do? You're going to forsake me and follow the world here for a few moments. But it's okay. Because I'll see you in Galilee. Now hang tight with me. Let's pray. And I'm going to talk on this subject this morning. Meet him in Galilee. This is good. Meet him in Galilee. Father, I thank you so much for the new life that you give us in Christ. I thank you that you commended your love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, you died for us. You didn't die for us because we were perfect. You didn't die for us because we were going to remain perfect. You didn't die for us because you thought we'd never sin again. You died for us knowing exactly who we are. You knew that there was going to have to be a Galilee. You knew that there was going to have to be a Calvary. But you knew there was going to be a resurrection. Thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move in our hearts here this morning. May we leave here victorious because of the resurrection, because of the hope that we have in you. Lord, be one here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. They've never admitted themselves a sinner like Peter did. Admitted that Jesus Christ is the Savior and accepted his death on the cross as full payment for their sin. If they've never done that, I pray that today be the day of their salvation. And Lord, be one here this morning that's failed you. May they realize that there's hope and there's still life and they can have a new resurrection. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless us here, and we ask in Christ's name and give you the praise. Amen. You know, I like to read a lot of scripture when I preach, but there's so much here today, so I'm going to assume you know some of these stories. I'll give you some references. You can go back and read them a little later if you don't know all the story. I hope you're at least familiar with him. If I read all the stories, all your Easter candy would go stale before we got home. Let me tell you the first thing here this morning. They realized who Jesus was. In that passage in Luke chapter 5, Jesus came to Peter in his hometown area of Galilee and he was preaching. Peter was just there for a day's work. But Jesus came. Do you think there was an accident? I don't think so. I think Jesus knew exactly where Peter and James and John and Peter's brother and Andrew were, and I think he was going to preach there. I think he had his eye on Peter and Peter's boat while he was preaching. I think he knew what was going to happen. I think Peter thought he knew more about fishing than Jesus did. You know, there's sometimes we think we know more about life than Jesus does. Sometimes we think we know more about trying to live and how we're going to get through day by day than God knows in his book. But Peter thought he knew more about fishing. In fact is, Peter had every reason to do so. He made a living at it. Apparently, he was pretty good at it. This is the way they did it. He probably grew up. His father was probably a fisherman. This is probably the family business. They've been in there. They had a little partnership going on. This was big stuff. But Peter realized that Jesus is greater than he is. That initial impact. This man is something greater than me. Behold, I'm a sinful man. I missed the mark. I don't have what he has. And I think Peter realized who Jesus was. Greater was greater than he is. Peter realized that he was a sinful man. He was missing the mark. Peter realized that he had no right to be with Jesus and that Jesus should depart from him. He says, this is somebody far beyond who I am. Peter realized that though he didn't deserve for Jesus to give him the time of day, that somehow Jesus wanted to use this. Behold, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I've got a job for you. And Peter forsook all and followed Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. Do you remember the day you received Christ as your Savior? You remember the day when you realized that you were a sinful person? You realized that we are accountable to a holy and righteous God? You realize that because of our sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But then you realize the last part of that little verse, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He had to give it to us because we couldn't earn it. We can't deserve it. So it has to be a gift. And if it's a gift, it's simply out of his grace because he loved us. He commended his love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died on the cross. Every drop of blood that came from his body and shed was his life being poured out for ours, his life for our life. He died so we could live. Oh, and the fact is, it's a matter of receiving the gift. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And by the way, if you've never done that, don't miss out. There's no greater deal in all of the universe than salvation by grace. Not that we deserved it, but the fact that he paid for it all. Now, Peter came to the point was he realized who it was. This apparently was pretty big because he forsook all. He left the boats. He left the family business. He left his buddies. They picked up and they followed this guy who didn't even have any place to lay his head. And when Jesus said they would henceforth catch men, do you think he didn't know that Peter was going to fail him and deny him one day? When Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," he knew who Peter was. God knows who you are. And when he called him to follow, he knew he was going to fail somewhere along the way. When God paid for your sin on the cross, he had to pay for all of them till the day you die. Because if he didn't, it was a waste of time for paying for any of them. You break the law on one point, you've broken the whole law. If he only pays for the ones up until the time we receive Christ, it's wasted because you know as well as I did, we've all messed up since we received Christ. Even if it was just a thought. Peter realized who Jesus was. Let me give you number two. There were good times in those 3.5 years, and there were some bad times. I can't give it all to you. I'm just going to kind of bring a few things to your remembrance. But there were some good times, there were bad times. Sometimes Peter was doing all right. And there were some times he really messed up. You know, the first time you messed up, you said, "Well, all right, okay, it's not too big, not too bad." And then after a while, if you don't forget about it, if you don't think about it, all of a sudden your sins kind of start piling up. And after a while, you get getting feeling a little guilty. "And I blew it this time. Well, I won't do it again. It'll be all right." And then you did it again. "Well, I won't say that," before you know, it's all, there it is, all over everything. front of God and everybody, here's what you're saying. And after a while you think, well, can God ever use me again? I blew it. I walked away. What a mess. Peter got to serve God and go fishing for men. There was times when Jesus sent them out and they had power over demons and power to heal. Well, they were great times. They were good times. Peter got he got to participate in the feeding of the 5,000. Even got to take a bushel basket home with him. Then he fed another 4,000. Peter got to walk on water. Great times. Man, he got his eyes off a little bit, but he put his eyes right back on Jesus, and Jesus was the one. He didn't crawl back in the boat. He crawled to Jesus, went further out in the water. He took his eyes off a little bit, he put his eyes back on Jesus. Lord, save me. And Jesus grabbed him, saved him. They both got back in the boat. There was great times. But, you know, there was time when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea. Let me read a little bit of it. And he asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say thou John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter, good old Simon Peter. But this is good. He answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, got that one right. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now think about that. God's using him. God reveals something to me. This is something that only, listen, the Bible says you can't call him Lord except by the Spirit of God. I mean, when you get a point, you really say, you can know, he is Lord, and I'm nothing. The Spirit of God's working. And so he said, you know what? God's telling you. God's teaching. And my guess is, can you imagine what Peter thought? God, I'm getting this. But wait a minute. The conversation's not done. He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he says here, and I will give unto thee, Peter, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He says, I'm going to let you do an eternal work for me. Well, I guess there's a couple times I blew it. You know, I guess I'm still okay. I'm all right. And when Jesus said this, didn't he also know that Peter was going to deny him in a few weeks? But he says, I'm going to use you to eternal work. Now, Peter didn't know he was going to deny. He said, boy, okay, I've arrived. God's saying, you're going to blow it, but I'm going to use you. But it goes on. The very next verse, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Jesus and began to rebuke him. Here we go again. You don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. Began to rebuke him. Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest. You have a taste for the things of that. You don't have a taste for the things that be of God. You savorest not the things of God, but those that are be of men. That's where your taste is. You have an appetite for the things of the world, not for the things of God. But wait a minute, just 2 minutes before he said, God taught you that. Up, down. Up. Sound familiar? Then Jesus tells them they will deny him. Would you look at Matthew 26 real quick? I want you to see this. Matthew 26, 30. I want you to see the story. Then I'm going to make some applications. Hang tight with me. This is good stuff. Matthew 26, 30. I'm going to make the statement. It's not going to probably make a whole lot of sense. This is what it says. It basically says this. Jesus tells them his disciples, that they're going to deny him. But it's okay because he's going to meet him in Galilee. Look at verse 26-30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. This is the parallel passage to the one in Mark. He went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But, see, there's a connection. You're all going to be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Hang tight. Peter thought he could handle anything. Anything that would come at him. But you know what? He didn't even pray. Look at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place, look down verse 36, unto a place called Gethsemane. And saith unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what Peter said? I got this. It's all right. I can handle it. You think I'm going to be offended? Listen, I'd die with you. I can handle it. Jump down to middle of verse 50. Of course, he came back several times and they were sleeping. Middle of verse 50 says, then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. From another gospel, we know that's Peter. On guard! Do a Zorro job on you. I can handle this. He says, and Jesus says, You don't get it. You don't get it. Put up again thy sword unto this place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? And we come to Luke 22, verse 54, and it says this. Luke 22, if you want to follow, you can look at it with me. 22:54. I'm going to tell you a story. Just hang tight with me. Then took they him, Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Verse 56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter says, man, I'm not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth. It is true. This fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. Verse 60, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Look at verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Did you ever get caught up in the heat of the moment? Somebody's giving you a hard time. You've finally been fed up. You turn around and you all of a sudden, all those words from high school starts flying out of your mouth. And about time you've blown off all the steam, you come to your own thought and you think. And you can feel the Lord looking at you. And you get that sense, well, it was nice while it lasted. But how in the world could God ever like me again? How could he ever love me again? How could he ever use me again? When Jesus called his disciples to follow him, Jesus knew who he was calling. He knew they would fail. He didn't want them to fail, but he knew it. That is why he wanted them to make sure they saw him in Galilee. Back in Mark 14. That's not right. Mark. No, that's Matthew. What was it? Matthew 26 there, verse 31. You saw this verse. It said this. Then saith unto them, all ye shall be offended. But that night when he was going to die, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So the night before he dies, he says, all right, it's going to be a mess tonight. You guys are going to run like a bunch of scared rats. But don't give up, boys. When all this is over, the bad stuff is done, and I've risen again, meet me in Galilee. In Mark 16, verse 1, it says this, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices. This is Christ had died. This is Sunday morning. That they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man, an angel, sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were frightened. And he saith unto him, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. See, it's empty. And then he says this, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Now watch it. Jesus said before he died, it's going to be a crazy night tonight. You're all going to get scared. You're going to run and hide. But he said, I'm going to rise again. And after I've risen again, all this is past. I want you to meet me in Galilee. Now, a lot of things have happened. The crucifixion day was a mess. Oh, my soul. There he was and all this stuff. And they're running away. They don't know. They killed Jesus. Maybe they'll kill those disciples. What are we going to do? A lot of things are going on across their mind. A lot of water under the bridge. All those things were going on. It's been 3 days. And the ladies go to the tomb. And the angel says, he's not here, but remember, he wants you to go to Galilee. Don't forget to meet him in Galilee. Now hang on. In Matthew 28, verse 2, it says this. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Matthew 28, 2. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. And as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. So that's the second time they've talked about the same account. So that's the second time we hear about going to Galilee. Look at verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. They run into the resurrected Jesus. Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and they held him by the feet and worshiped him. Look at verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid." Don't get yourself all worked up. Everything's okay. "Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." There's something that's supposed to happen in Galilee. Peter knows, hang on, take me here. Peter knows the facts, but he still feels like a loser. He denied Jesus. He went out and wept bitterly. But the fact is, Peter sees the empty tomb. Peter sees Jesus in the upper room twice. Once when Thomas wasn't there, and the second time when Thomas was there. Peter knew that Jesus was alive. He knows that. Peter tries to convince Thomas of the fact between those two visits. But somehow it is as if Peter thought that Jesus was finished with him. "Yes, Jesus rose again, but I'm still a loser." Have you been saved? Have you seen God do something in your life? At least you realize who he was. Well, can you go back to a time when you realize who Jesus is and who you are, and he's the Savior, and you've got eternal life because of what he did on the cross, and he's proven because of the resurrection? That's good. But have you messed up? Did you fall into a great depression, stopped trusting the Lord? Have you even denied him? Didn't want to name his name when you were out amongst some people? Do you think you've gone too far? Do you think that Jesus is finished with you? Turn to John 21. The story's not done. Peter should have made it a point to go to Galilee, like Jesus said. I looked and I looked and I looked. You would think, after they had said, "Meet me in Galilee," so many times, we would say, "Okay, all right, let's see here. Tuesday morning at 10, right? Going to make an appointment. What time do you want us to be there, Jesus?" Listen, by now they should be saying, "I don't know where you're going, but I'm going to Galilee. Jesus is going to come sometime." I don't see that. It's not there. Look at John 21:1. "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias." Remember, that's the Sea of Galilee on the west shore. So Tiberias is claimed. It's still the same place. It's Galilee. It's where they started out 3.5 years ago. "And on this wise," this is the way he showed himself, "on this wise." Verse 2. "There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus," which means twin, ditto, Didymus, "and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other of his disciples." So there they are. They're back home. Home is Galilee. They didn't go there to meet Jesus. They just went. In fact, look at what it says here, verse 3. "Simon Peter saith unto them, you know what? I'm going fishing." Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men. I've got a great job for you." You know, it's almost like I can just see him sitting there jingling his coins in his pocket. "Well, I'm going to go fishing." They say unto him, "All right, we also go with thee." They went forth, entered into a ship immediately. And that night, because that's when you fish at night, they caught nothing. Sound familiar? 3.5 years ago, fishing at night, catching nothing. Then this guy named Jesus shows up in the morning. Look at verse 4. "But when the morning was now come," Jesus stood on the shore. "But his disciples knew not that it was Jesus." They didn't know who Jesus was the first time he stood on the shore in that morning after they had caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, the disciples knew that it was not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, hey kids, hey boys, you got anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." You know where they are? You know where those disciples are? They're right where they were 3.5 years ago with nothing but an empty net. No Jesus, no nothing. Life is empty. "Man, we were going good for 3.5 years, but I messed up. I know God said he was going to do something," which he knew what he was going to do, "but I guess he can't use me now. I guess life is over. Let's just go back to our old life." Verse 6, "And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." I think by now Peter's humbled. He didn't know it was Jesus. Says so. He didn't know it was Jesus. Well, I don't have anything to lose. I had one other time some guy told me from the shore to better cast it out in the morning. What do I got to lose? They cast therefore. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Sounds familiar. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, saith unto Peter, "It's the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. In other words, he needed to put his shirt on. He wasn't naked. He would need to put his shirt on, okay? "And did cast himself into the sea." Here's Peter jumping into the water again. "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid there on bread. Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many." I haven't counted it up. Some say that 153 are the number of miracles that were performed and recorded in the Word of God. I'll have to go back and check. That's what someone said one time. He says, 153, proof of all that's happened in the last 3.5 years. "And for all that were so many, yet was not the net broken." He says, there was no loss. "Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise." Watch. "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead." This is what he was looking for. Now hang on, we're almost done. They didn't go where Jesus was looking for a new start, but Jesus did come looking for them. Folks, you may not have been looking for a new start. You thought life was over. Jesus is looking for you this morning. He's saying, meet me in Galilee. Go back to where we started. Go back to what happened before. Remember that I'm the Savior. Remember I know who you are when I called you. I've got something. I've got a plan for your life. You messed up. It doesn't change my plan. Because I knew all about the mess up and I called you. Disciples have not been to Galilee since the resurrection until now. So this must be what Jesus and the angel was talking about. And Jesus takes them back to the first day in their memory. He takes them back to that first day and allows them to start all over. And I think they'd notice the similarities. They had to. And if Jesus can call us from a life of sin in the first place and use us, can he not call us from a life that has had its ups and downs and use us again? Can he not? Listen, Jesus announced their failure, but had already planned for the restoration. You're going to get scattered. You're going to get scared. You're going to run, but meet me in Galilee. It's going to be okay. Meet me in Galilee. God wanted to make sure they remembered to come to the restoration. Yes, there had been a resurrection, but there could be a restoration. Jesus had planned the restoration all along. Jesus had paid for their sins and their doubt on the cross and with all the rest of their sins. Look at verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter," remember the answer, go tell his disciples and Peter. He had an appointment with Peter. Peter just didn't know it. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, feed my lambs. He said, I got a job for you. First denial, first confession. Saith unto him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Second denial, second confession. Saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Denied three times, restored three times. Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. He says, you know what? You got scared the other night, but you're going to be able to do this. I'll be with you. Jesus came looking for them all over again, and Jesus calls them to serve him all over again. Only this time, we go with God's power and the nets won't break. Now, I know we're at the very end. So what's in Galilee? Restoration. I'll tell you what's in Galilee. Going back to where you started, forgiveness. Forgiveness. He says, I remember your sin no more. I tell you what's in Galilee? Brand new start. His mercies are new every morning. What's in Galilee? Hope. As long as Christ is alive, there's hope. What's in Galilee? A vision for the future. Life's not over. God still has something great for me. He knew me when He called me the first time. He knew I was going to mess up. But He knew He was going to come and restore. You know what was in Peter? A few weeks later. You know what Peter found at Galilee? Pentecost. He was going to preach at Pentecost and 3,000 people were going to get saved and baptized. That's what he found in Galilee. You know what else he found? He found Peter and John going to the temple called Beautiful and said, hey, what, silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I unto you. And he healed that man. Power of God was at Galilee. After he had denied Jesus that night, ran away. Power of God was in his life. You know what else? Boldness. Found boldness at Galilee. After they healed that guy, they brought him in front of everybody and said, listen, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. He says, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter was the first one to give the gospel to the Gentiles. Cornelius. This one who thought it was all done. Denied. Just go back to fishing. No, Jesus says, meet me at Galilee. What's your failure? What's your failure? I had a Galilee. I've had more than once, but some bigger than others. Time in my life, I had a choice between two things that went the wrong road. Six years go by, miserable. Finally surrendered back to God. You know where He put me right back? Right exactly back where I was, the same fork, exact same fork in the road where I was 6 years earlier. Just changed, went the other road this time. Thought I'd wasted 6 years. Well, probably so. But God knew I needed those 6 years to get myself straight or whatever. So I don't know. Are you a Peter? And when it was foretold that we would scatter when Jesus was arrested, Are you like him? Did you doubt? Were you offended? Were you like Peter, thinking you would never fail? Did you think that you would never deny God again? Did you think you would never sin again? That you would never need forgiveness again? You would never need to be restored again? But then you did fail. You did sin. You did deny Jesus, and in fear, and now you think your Christian life is a failure and can never be used again for anything of significance. You think life has stopped, and all you can do is just bide your time and wait until Jesus comes. Do you think God can no longer use you? Peter had tremendous opportunities by being with Jesus 3.5 years. How could he have failed Jesus? How could he do such an awful thing after all the privileges that he had had? How could God ever forgive him? How could God ever use Peter again? And yet Jesus says, "Meet me in Galilee." What have you done that you think is so awful that God could no longer use you? What is your big sin that you think God cannot forgive? Where have you messed up? Go back to Galilee. Have you denied the Lord? Have you failed in ministry? Do you give up before you should have? Go back to Galilee. Do you have some sin in your past? Go back to Galilee. Are you addicted to some alcohol or drugs or pornography? You think you're stuck right there in life. You can't go anywhere. Go back to Galilee. Have you been found guilty of a crime? Have you been caught in financial indiscretions? Do you have a record? Maybe you've actually committed a crime. Maybe you were convicted. Maybe you've served time. Maybe you're going to serve time. Go back to Galilee. Did you start your life out wrong? Have you been less than perfect spouse? Have you been a not so good parent? You made some bad decisions. Maybe you're partly to blame for the ruin of someone else's life. Go back to Galilee. Go back to Galilee. Hang on. Did you have a baby or fathered a baby and you weren't married yet? Have you been involved in an abortion? Have you been divorced and someone's told you that you're no longer able to serve God? Go back to Galilee. Go back to Galilee. Jesus is waiting there. He always says, right where you are now, Peter, do you love me? Yeah. Serve me. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Starting today, serve me. Peter, do you love Jesus? You know I love you. Yeah, but I wanted you to hear yourself say it. I know what's in your heart, Peter. I know you messed up. But glad to see you here in Galilee. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Galilee's. Thank you. We can always go back to Galilee and have a new beginning. Thank you so much for taking us just like we are. Do your work now, Lord. Our heads are bowed.